In the summer of 1993, Don Wyman was clearing some trees for a strip mining company along a steep ridge. On this particular occasion, he was working along, snap in two, and within the blink of the eye, the tree fell to the earth, pinning Don Wyman beneath the ground and this massive oak. He was alive, but he immediately understood the precarious situation he was now in. The tree had fallen onto his leg just below the knee, and the weight of that great tree had shattered his lower leg. He tried with all of his might to try to pull away from that tree, but to no avail. He was bleeding very badly from the area of the leg that had been shattered, and he reached for his chainsaw, but he couldn't reach it. He wanted to try to perhaps cut the tree away from his leg, and time was not on his side. If he didn't get help real soon, he was going to bleed to death, and so Don Wyman had to make a very critical decision. And so he reached into his pocket, he pulled out a piece of rope, and he made a tourniquet around his leg, cutting off the blood supply. And then he took his pocket knife, and he did the unthinkable. He began to amputate his leg just below the knee. Now he was free from that large oak, and he began to crawl his way about 135 feet uphill to where his dozer was. He then climbed onto his dozer, and he drove that slow machine about a quarter of a mile to his truck. He managed to crawl into his truck, which was a stick shift, and he used a metal rod as opposed to his leg that was now gone, and he managed to push the clutch and drive the vehicle to a nearby dairy farm where an ambulance was called. Now, Don Wyman survived this terrible incident, but only because he made a very important decision at a critical time. He did not procrastinate what he knew needed to be done, and he was willing to do whatever it might take to save his own life. And folks, I want to challenge you today by the fact that God has called upon us to make an important decision at a very critical time. But you know, many people in our world today don't take that decision very seriously. People today, they get up in the morning and they read the paper and they drink their coffee and they get ready for the day's activities and they go to work, they go to school, they go to their classes, they come home and there's other activities perhaps they have to engage in and they go to bed. And for the most part, they do the very same thing in the very same way day after day after day. I think about the challenge that Moses gave the people over in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19. Moses said to the people, "I call the heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your seed, that is, your descendants, may live." Moses called upon the people on this occasion to make a choice, a critical choice. Moses says you have to choose between life and death, blessing and cursing. And your eternal future depends upon the choice that you make. But God calls upon us to also make that critical choice between life and death. And sadly, many people do not deal with the serious matters of life and death that's before them. And I think you know what I'm talking about. Here's a man that's planned carefully for his 401k, and you know, he can tell you all about Wall Street, and he can tell you about the stock market. But this same man has never gotten around in making preparation for his eternal retirement. Or you think about the mother who with such care and concern performs the daily tasks, making sure that her family has all their physical needs, and yet she's neglected their spiritual needs. Oh, she makes sure that her children go to school, and she makes sure that all their schoolwork assignments are done. She makes sure that they're on time for all the extracurricular activities. But she doesn't put nearly the same effort into making sure that they're in Bible class. Or you think about the man or the woman that learns about the death of someone their age. Maybe it was a close friend. Maybe it was a precious loved one. And for a moment they think to themselves, you know, that could have been me. I need to develop a relationship with God. I really need to get more serious about my spiritual life. But in a day or two, seems like all is forgotten and nothing has changed. You know how sad it is that many people do not get around to dealing with the serious matters of life and death until it's too late. But you know, God wants us to choose life. God wants us to make that choice today. You know, Joshua, the great leader that followed Moses, also challenged the people in Joshua chapter 24, beginning in verse 14. He said, "Now therefore fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you'll serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now dwell. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." Now sometimes, and I guess rightly so, we can make things difficult. Tax time is upon us, and I guess the tax code can be complicated and difficult to understand. When you think about computers, you think about technology, it can be difficult to really understand it all. Or you think about putting a toy together for your child on Christmas Eve. The four most terrific words of the English language to me are "some adult assembly required." You know, there are things that get complicated in life. But in our lesson this morning, our text, Matthew chapter 7, I encourage you to turn there, Matthew 7, verses 13 through 29, I think Jesus here helped to provide some simple guidance concerning direction in our lives. And I think he addressed three important areas that can help us determine what direction in life we are going to go. You're going to notice in this text today as we get into it that Jesus talked about a path. He also talked about a teacher, and he also talked about a foundation. Very simple concepts. And using these simple concepts today, we're going to ask three simple questions. The first question is, what path are you traveling? If you look at verse 13, our Lord said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it." Now the options here, the two choices, and the only two choices, are very clear. First of all, there is the wide road. The wide road is like an interstate highway, one of those, you know, 10-lane interstates that you see in one of our big cities. And It's so very easy to get on this wide road. You can travel very fast. There are a lot of billboards that will entice you and distract you along this highway. And you can quickly exit this wide road and take another path of your choice and then get back on the wide road again. Now, it's called the broad way here because it will allow anything and anyone to travel it. You can carry all kinds of baggage with you. You can carry every sin. You don't have to give up a single thing. You can come just as you are and travel this road and not make any changes whatsoever. There's no repentance on the broad way. No life changes at all have to be made. Anything and anyone is allowed, no exceptions. Now, that's the way of the world. Those on the broad way have room for everyone and everything but Jesus Christ. They like to see themselves as being very tolerant, but they have no tolerance for those who would follow Jesus. You know, when Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, there was no room for Him in the inn. And there, Jesus, born in the inn, because there was no room for Him, and we need to realize today, in the same way, the world has no room for Jesus. And yet, on the broad way, everything else is allowed. Now, the second option that we have in this life as we travel is the narrow road. Now, the narrow road is straight. That just simply means that it's very restrictive. When one walks the narrow road, they are hemmed up on either side by the word of truth. And we need to realize that truth is narrow. Truth is objective. Truth does not allow for any deviations whatsoever. You know, I think we understand the concept of truth and objective truth in certain areas of life, you know, just like mathematics. You know, 2 + 2 = 4, doesn't it? It equals 4 every single time. 2 + 2 never equals 3 or 5 or 7 or 9. It always equals 4. Well, we need to realize that the narrow way is also objective. God's truth, the word of truth, is also narrow and objective. For example, Jesus said, "Except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." That is narrow. Jesus said, "Except you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins." That is narrow. Our Lord said, "Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." That is narrow. It doesn't allow for exceptions. It doesn't allow for improvements or alterations or any changes whatsoever. The narrow path is the only path that will lead to eternal life. And so in very simple terms, here in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, our Lord is calling upon us to choose the path that we're going to follow. We can choose the broad way. We can choose the pleasures of this life that go along with the broad way. But Jesus said the broad way leads to destruction. The other choice that we can personally make is the choice to travel that narrow road. It is restrictive. It requires discipline. It requires commitment on our part. But that narrow road will lead to eternal life. And so first of all, what path are you traveling? Secondly, though, who are you listening to? Look at verses 15 through 22. "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves? You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied? Have we not in your name cast out devils? Have we not in your name done many wonderful works? Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Now today we listen to a lot of people, and it's not necessarily wrong at all to listen to people. But Jesus here, he's talking about spiritual matters. And so who are you listening to in your spiritual life? Who do people listen to today? Some people listen to what their particular denominational church says. They determine their religious beliefs based upon the religious group that they've chosen to identify with. Well, my church teaches this about salvation. You know, they teach, you know, you just accept Jesus Christ into your heart and you'll be saved. Or my church teaches this about organization. You know, we have a convention and our convention decides what our churches and our denominations are going to believe about certain subjects. Even morality today is up for grabs as churches are making decisions about what's right and what's wrong in areas of morality. Maybe the acceptance of homosexuality and same-sex marriage. You think about worship. You know, we decide in our church how we're going to worship, and we'll even give you a choice. You know, we'll have traditional worship at one time, and then we'll have contemporary worship at another time for those that like, you know, the bands and the music and so forth. And so my particular church determines what's right and wrong. Now, what did Jesus say here? He said, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. You know, we are to be fruit inspectors. Inspectors have a standard that they go by. And the standard that we are to go by today is the Word of God. And Jesus said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Some people today listen to some real respected religious person. Maybe they're known nationwide. Well, you know, brother so-and-so says that, you know, this verse really means this, or the Bible says this, and, you know, I believe he knows his Bible. Well, he may know his Bible, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he's following his Bible. You know, in life, there is a truth that Jesus expressed in this way that we need to think about. Matthew chapter 15, verse 14, if the blind lead the blind, they both shall fall in the ditch. You know, a man may smile, a man may have a gentle voice, an individual may do some very good works in this life, he may even be able to quote the Bible. But that doesn't make him a coattail in which you can ride your way into heaven. In fact, he might just be a part of that group about which the Lord says, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? and in your name cast out devils, and in your name done many wonderful works, and I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. See, we need to listen to what Jesus said in His Word and never take the word of another man. Jesus said, He who rejects me and does not receive my words, he hath one that judgeth him, the words that I have spoken. The same shall judge him in the last day, John 12 and verse 48. Others today simply listen to their religious roots. Well, you know, mom and dad, they believe this about salvation. And if it was good enough for mom and dad, then it's good enough for me. You know, you couldn't find a more loving person than was my granddaddy and my grandmama. And if they don't make it to heaven, then nobody will. And I know that we love our families. We ought to love our families dearly. We ought to love our grandparents and our father and our mother and others in our family. But at the same time, we need to have a heart of humility and love for God, like a young man that we read about in the Old Testament named Josiah. You know, Josiah very well could have followed the traditions of his father. He could have followed the religious roots of his grandfather. But instead, he chose to follow God. I want you to look with me over at the book of 2 Kings chapter 21. I want to read there beginning in verse 1, and I want you to follow this with me as we look at this particular situation. The Bible says Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hephzibah, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord after the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. For he built up again the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed. He reared up altars for Baal. He made a grove, as did Ahab, king of Israel. He worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served them. He built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said, In Jerusalem will I put my name. And he built altars for all the hosts of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he made his son pass through fire. Can you imagine being so idolatrous that you would sacrifice in fire your own son? And the Bible says he observed times and used enchantments, and he dealt with familiar spirits and wizards, and he brought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And he set graven images in the grove which he had made in the house, of which the Lord said to David and to Solomon his son, In this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen of all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Neither will I make the feet of Israel move any more out of the land, like in the tabernacle which I gave to their fathers, only if they will observe to do according to all I have commanded them, and according to the law that my servant Moses commanded them. And then skip down, if you will, down to verse 18. Manasseh slept with his fathers. He died. He was buried in the garden of his own house, in the garden of Uzzah, and Amon, his son, reigned in his stead. Amon was 22 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Meshulamith, the daughter of Haraz of Jotbah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Notice that, just like his father Manasseh did, he walked in the way that his father walked in. He served the idols that his father served, and he worshiped them. And he forsook the Lord God of his fathers and walked not in the way of the Lord. And the servants of Ammon conspired against him and slew the king in his own house. And the people of the land slew all them then that had conspired against Ammon. And then the people made Josiah, his son, king in his stead. Now the rest of the acts of Ammon which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of Kings? And he was buried in the sepulcher in the garden of Uzzah, and Josiah, his son, reigned in his stead. And then you look at the next chapter, please. 2 Kings 22, beginning in verse 1. Now Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adiah of Boscoth. And Josiah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He walked in the ways of his father David. He turned not aside, neither to the right nor to the left. What did Josiah do? Josiah determined that his family roots was not going to determine how he was going to serve the Lord. He chose to go against his father and his grandfather. He chose to serve God in the way that would be pleasing to him. You see, our family is not going to be the standard by which we're going to be judged. Now the Bible says in Matthew 10 and verse 37, "He that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." And I certainly think that you ought to listen to your family up until a certain point. But if you ever learn that your family believes or they practice something that is not in harmony with the Word of God, if you don't change, what you've done is you've elevated them even above the Lord. And thus Jesus says you're not worthy of Him. You see, there are a lot of folks that are walking on that broad way because they're listening to their family rather than what the Word of God says. You know, others today determine their path, their course of life, based upon the majority consensus on religious matters. You know, most people today, you know, they believe this about baptism. Or most people today believe this about heaven or about hell. Majority of people today don't even believe in hell. You know, when some good person dies and, you know, we hear about that person on the news or on television, they're automatically going to heaven, right? Because maybe they were a fairly good father. Maybe they were a good influence in the community. And so, you know, if you're an individual that's just good in life and you're viewed as being good in life, then you're automatically going to heaven. You know, most people believe today that, you know, there's nothing wrong with instrumental music and worship. The majority of people might not even see anything wrong with abortion. What is modest or immodest in regard to dress today? The majority would certainly view the standard of the world as the way we ought to go. But you know, if you were to poll the world, and every single person in the world said the very same thing about some subject, and Jesus said something else, guess who would be right? Our Lord said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat." And so we ask the question again, what road are you traveling? And who are you listening to? Thirdly today and lastly, what are you building upon? If you look at verse 7, or Matthew chapter 7, beginning verse 24, Jesus said, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat upon that rock, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does not do them shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand, and the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." And it came to pass that when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine or teaching, because he taught them as one having authority and not the scribes. On August 29, 2005, the most deadly hurricane to hit the United States in 75 years hit New Orleans, Hurricane Katrina. Now, as a result of the design of New Orleans, the city being built below sea level, over 80% of that city was flooded when breaches began to occur in the levee system after the storm surges and wind. We remember the mass destruction, the many deaths that occurred because of this great storm. But there were some parts of the city that managed to survive the great winds and the storm. They were the parts of the city whose foundations were above sea level. Whether it was by chance or design, the homes that were built on the right kind of foundation were able to survive the mass devastation that was suffered by so many other people. I think all of us realize, at least we should, that a good foundation is vital. It's important in everything that we do. I'm not a carpenter by any stretch of the imagination. I wouldn't want to live in anything that I might build. I wouldn't want a bird to live in any house that I might build. But I think all of us realize that if you're going to build a house, that house needs to have a solid foundation. If you're going to go out and get a good education, that good education starts out by having a good foundation. You know, young people go out, you get married. A good foundation is needed to help you get through the difficult times that you're going to face in that marriage relationship. And the same principle is true regarding our spiritual lives. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, Paul said, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. He who sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." You know, so many of the problems today that people endure in their lives are the result of the poor choices that they made in this life. God was out of the picture, and they're reaping the consequences of their decision. We reap what we sow. If the foundation is on the sand, if the foundation is not solid, the structure of your life is going to fall apart. Now, if you want to have the most happy, the most fulfilling life possible, it all begins by laying the proper foundation. Over in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, the Bible says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." If you want to have the best marriage possible, it must begin with Jesus. If you want to be the best father and mother you can be to those children, it must begin with Jesus. If you want to live each and every day of your life having the hope of eternal life, it begins with Jesus. And to have Jesus Christ as the foundation of your life is not some just declaration of the fact that, you know, we believe in Jesus, but it's a complete and total surrender to His will in everything. Jesus said, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I'll liken him unto a wise man who built his house on a rock." In fact, you cannot separate love for the Lord and obedience to His will. Jesus said in John 14, verse 15, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to all those that obey Him, Hebrews 5 and verse 9. And that is precisely in harmony with Jesus. He said in Matthew 7, verse 21, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. And so that brings us back to where we started our lesson this morning, Don Wyman. You know, when that oak tree shattered his leg and entrapped him there as he was bleeding to death, Don Wyman managed to survive that great tragedy. But only because he made a very important decision at a critical time. He did not procrastinate in any way regarding what he knew needed to be done. He was willing to do whatever it might take in order to save his life. Jesus has presented unto us a most important decision as well. What path are you traveling today? Who are you listening to? What foundation are you building your life upon? If you cannot honestly say this morning that you've been traveling that narrow road, if you cannot honestly say this morning that you've been listening to Jesus and you're building your life upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, you can decide and make the decision right now that you're going to do that. It begins by being washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. That takes place through belief in Him as the Son of God, repenting of our sins, changing our lives, acknowledging Him as being the Son of God, and then being immersed in water for the remission of sins. If you follow any other plan, if you follow any other path, you will not enter into heaven's gate. If you listen to any other man or any other doctrine that is not revealed in the Bible, you'll not hear those wonderful words, well done, good and faithful servant. You know, Jesus died in order to build His church. It is the church that belongs to Him, and those in the church who are faithful are those who will one day enter into eternal life. But see, the choice has to be yours. Our Lord is not going to drag you into heaven. He's not going to force you to be faithful to Him. Revelation 22, verse 17 says, the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him come, and let him take of the water of life freely. Do you want to do that this morning? Think about that while together we stand and sing.